Unit 2, Listening Activity 1. 1.
I'd never been to anything quite like this before. Sure, there'd been lots of conferences at uni, some excellent, but they were academic. This one was different. I'd not had high expectations. I'd heard speakers could be anything from top-rate to mediocre, but in fact, I wasn't disappointed.
I thought the presentations generally were slick, but the content was average. I'd heard it all before. I'd hoped it'd break new ground, but it didn't happen. I got the impression they wanted to push their own products on us, and I wasn't ready to be cajoled. And as for the exhibition stands, there were loads of them.
What I was surprised about was the practical nature of the whole thing. Maybe I'm naive, but I thought some of the software being promoted looked cool. I've collected loads of brochures to look at.
A lot of it certainly appeared to be time-saving, but you know what technology is. Once it goes wrong, it wastes more time than it saves. I may stick to the tried and tested stuff I know, though there were a couple of things that I'll take away with me to try.
2.
People don't seem to converse directly anymore. It's all online. So, I went to a park in town with a table and four chairs. I put up a sign offering free conversation, and I pinned up a list of possible conversation topics like the weather, history, birds. It only took a few minutes for a young couple to sit down. They went for the topic of cars. We talked for 20 minutes about their impact on the environment. After they left, more people came and sat down, and I ended up chatting to a steady stream of strangers.
Sounds cool. Like you're doing your bit to save the endangered art of social conversation. My seminars on being a good communicator get much the same reaction. People feel deprived of genuine, meaningful interaction. We used to value storytellers and people telling anecdotes, but not anymore.
All we have now are superficial posts on Twitter. How can you express anything meaningful in 140 characters? I fully realise people want to communicate quickly and succinctly, but it's all pretty shallow and creates a false intimacy.
If you can see body language and facial expressions, you can interpret tone, which avoids misunderstandings and creates closer, deeper relationships.
3.
I feel privileged because what I do with patients changes their lives. You've seen the film The King's Speech, where the king learned how to manage when he stammered badly. That's just the surface.
That's what I like most, helping people with things like when they stammer, seeing them gain confidence and do well. That makes everything worthwhile. And it takes ages to qualify, so it's important to enjoy it.
Much as I loved that film, it didn't show what we really do. It implied we only work with speech, but in fact, communication is more than making sure someone can produce all their sounds properly. Sometimes it doesn't use words at all, like when we have to help injured patients use non-verbal ways to get their point across. They might need help after having a physical problem like a stroke. They can talk, but what they say doesn't make sense. Then we can make a real difference.
The key thing, I think, is to like people, be a good communicator and listener yourself, a people person.
There's no room for lone operators. You must be involved in the whole process so the outcome for the patient is as good as it can be.